We begin the current Daf Maseches Erevin Daf Pei Vav. We begin 15 lines down from the top of the Amud, where we begin the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is a continuation in some form from the previous Mishnah, where it discusses one of the aspects of the Halachas at Erev, specifically as we found in the previous Mishnah, that if there is someone that's a dweller, he lives in this Chatzar, he has a bias, and he does not join in the Erev, then generally he's going to make it a problem, because generally what a Chatzar is that it's many different homeowners that share in this Chatzar, which could be confused with a Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, the Chacham said you have to make a Rubi Chatzeres that all the homes join into one house, making it as if everyone lives in that one house. If one person doesn't join in, then we don't see it as a Rishus HaYachid. We see at least two owners, therefore it's a problem. Our Mishnah will talk about a possible exceptions to that. Our Mishnah begins. HaManich Beisei, if somebody leaves his house, V'holach Lishbois Be'erachas, and he goes to live for Shabbos, he goes away for Shabbos into a different city. So the first opinion the Mishnah says, Echad Nachri V'Echad Yisrael, whether this individual that is this homeowner, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew, Hareza Eser, he makes it a problem, even if he's not here for Shabbos, if he did not join the Erev, because a Dira, a dwelling, a residential home without its owners, even if they're not there, it's still considered a dira, and it has to be joined within the context of the Erev. Dibre Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. So even though he's not there, the Bailam are not there, it's still considered a dira, and it's going to be problematic if he does not join the Erev. Rebbe Yehuda says, Ein Oiser, it's not a problem. That's because a dira without Bailam is not considered a dira. There's nothing there. It's just a shell. It's just walls with a ceiling. It's not considered a dira because there's no owners. They went away for Shabbos. Therefore, the fact that he did not join the Erev is not problematic. Rabbi Yossi says, in truth, Rabbi Yossi agrees that it's not considered a dira without the owner's dira. However, he was concerned, and he differentiated between a Jew and a non-Jew. He says, Nachri Eiser, if this homeowner that went away for Saturday, because for him there's no halachas of Shabbos, he's going to make it forbidden on everybody else if he did not join the Erev. And that's because we're concerned that he might come back in middle of Saturday. He might come back on Shabbos, and then he's going to be there, a dweller, and he did not join the Erev. Yisrael in Ha'isr, but a Jew that went away for Shabbos, he will not make it forbidden for everybody else, because he will be included for the whole Shabbos in the Dira without Bailam, which is not considered Dira. And the reason being is She'in Derech Yisrael, Lovei B'Shabbos. It's not customary for a Jewish person that goes away for Shabbos to come back in the middle of the day, and if he's sleeping over by somebody, and they come back in the middle of Shabbos, then to take back his home. Therefore, if he leaves for Shabbos, he's not going to be there. It's a Dira B'Loi Bailam, so it's not a Dira, and it's not problematic if it does not join the Erev. Rabbi Shimon says, he says even a bigger chiddush. He says, Afilahi niach beisai v'holach lishbois esel bitoi b'oisahi ir. Even if this person leaves his home, he goes to spend Shabbos by his daughter, even in the same city, not only to a different city. Even in such a case, Eina Oisri is not going to make it forbidden, although he could definitely walk those 10 blocks, whatever it is, back home, and then we should be concerned, just like the Nachri, that he might come back on Shabbos, Shekvar Hesia Melibot, because he already removed his home from his heart, and that is, he's not thinking about coming back for Shabbos, he's staying by his daughter, and therefore, even if he's within the same city, we can rest assured that he's not going to be a problem for this Mavoi, and even if he did not join this Erev, a dira without Bailam is not considered a dira, and therefore we can go ahead and use the Eruv Chatzeres. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Halacha Krib Shimon, the Halacha follows like Krib Shimon, that even if this Jew is in the same city, but he's sleeping by his daughter, he's not going to make it forbidden, although we could generally be concerned by a Nachri, but a Yisrael, even in the same city, there is no problem. However, he qualifies and says, V'davka bitay. This halacha was only said regarding his daughter, as that was the statement he said in the Mishnah, where people customary would stay by their daughter, in other words, by their son-in-law. Ava benoi loy. But regarding if he's staying by his son, there we did not say that he totally removed it from the idea from his head, that, wait, maybe if I'm staying by my daughter-in-law, that maybe I'm going to have to go back home, because the problem is he might get in a fight with his daughter-in-law. And then he's going to want to come back home, even in the middle of Shabbos. As the Gemara says, the Amar Inche, as people say, Navach Bach Kalba, if a male dog barks at you, which is a reference to his son-in-law, Ul, go in, don't worry, it's okay, you'll be able to tolerate it if he gets upset at you. Therefore, if one goes to his daughter, he's not coming back home for Shabbos, because even if he gets in the fight with his son-in-law, no problem, you'll be able to deal with it. Navach Bach Kuryasa, but if a female dog barks at you, which is a reference to his daughter-in-law, when he's going to his son, Puk, then go out, that's going to be too much. And therefore, there's a difference between going to your daughter and going to your son. Going to your daughter is tolerable if you get in a fight with your son-in-law. Going to your son, it's intolerable if you're going to your daughter-in-law. And therefore, even if he's going away But if he's in there with in the same city, he might decide to come back in the middle of Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be problematic if he did not join the Erev, even if he went away for Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Talking about, again, the idea about not being ma'uriv, about not joining together in the Erev, whether it be in the same chatzar or two chatzeris that share a certain area, specifically talking about mayim, water that's in the chatzar. So the Mishnah begins. Bar shebein shtei chatzeris, a pit of water that's between two different courtyards, and that is half of the pit is within the boundary of one courtyard, and half of the pit is within the boundary of the other courtyard. So the halacha is ein memal memena b'Shabbos. One is not allowed to fill up from the water of that pit on Shabbos in his chatzar, even on his side, because when he's filling up water from the pit, he's going to be drawing the water that's also on his chaver's side. And since they did not join the Erev together, you're not allowed to take from one chatzar to the other, and therefore taking from the pit will technically be taking like from his friend on Shabbos. Elim kein asu lemechitza gevoya asar tvachim. Only the way to do it is if they made a partition between the two chatzeris by the pit of water. In other words, in the pit of water there was a partition made 10 tvachim high. And the Mishnah says this is bein milmata, whether it's below, which the Gemara is going to explain the machlekes, what is exactly does it mean below, and bein mitoichugno, or whether it's between the lips of the pit, and that is even if it's not touching the water itself. But this was a leniency that Chacham said regarding water, that there's a concept called good achas, that we view the wall as if it's extending downward, and therefore, as long as it's within the lip, the tip of the bar, it's not above the bar, but it's within the top part of the bar, then it's already going to seem as if it's separating the two halves of the bar. Then one is allowed to draw from his side of the pit, as long as he made a mechitza separating his side of the pit from the other side of the pit from his friend. B'Shem Gamliel Lemer, he says a little bit differently. It's not that you have a choice whether below or above. It says, B'Shamay Omer Milmata. B'Shamay say that the partition is placed below. B'Shil Omer Milmata. B'Shil say, no, even if it's above, it's going to be considered a partition to separate between one side of the pit and the other side of the pit. And again, the Gemara will explain what does it mean below and above. So Amar Behuda Huda says, he argues. He says, no, that up until now, what the Mishnah was saying, that you have to have this partition has to be within the pit, whether above or below, which we're going to explain what that means. But he says, Loitehi mechitza, this mechitza that we're talking about now, that we're creating, that's within the, at least within the boundaries of the pit itself, it shouldn't be any better than Gedolim and Akkadish Rabbanim. Shouldn't be any better than the wall that's between these two sides of the pit, based on the virtue that this wall is what separates between the two different courtyards. And therefore, when we have this pit that's in between the two courtyards, the wall separating the two chatzeris is going up above the surface of the pit. Now, even though it doesn't go into the lip, into ugnai, it's still going to be separating the area of the two chatzeris. He says, that's enough. You don't have to go ahead and create this mechitza in the area of the pit, whether above or below. It's enough with the wall that actually partitions the two chatzeris. That is enough to separate the two halves of the pit. And then that through that wall, you can take from your part of the pit, and he could take from his part of the pit. Now the Gemara is going to explain this machlekes regarding lomata and lomala. This, if you have to have the partition separating the pit, if it does have to be below, or if it could even be above. And the Gemara says, Amrav Huna, there's a machlekes regarding, do we view this lomata or lomala in relation to the pit, or do we view it as relation to the water? So Rav Huna says lamata, when Beishamai said that this mechitza, this separation in the pit has to be below, it was lamata mamish. It was literally below. In other words, in relation to the pit itself, we're saying that it has to be below near the water. But the tips of the reeds that are creating this partition, they don't have to actually touch the water. Lamala, when we said, according to Beis Hillel, that the partition could even be above, lamala mamish, it meant literally above, and that is even near the top of the lip of the pit, if you want, that's enough. However, v'zeh v'zeh b'bar, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were talking about that it's in relation that it is in the pit, that you have to have the entire mechitza of this 10 tefachim height within the lip of the pit and within. The only machlokes was that Beis Hillel says, It could be right there by the surface coming down that 10 tefachim. But according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't have to actually touch the water, but it's below the pit. In other words, below in relation to the pit itself from the top, that it could be below that. It has to be below that, but it doesn't have to actually touch the water. Again, this opinion of Rav Huna is that we're talking about lamal lamata in relation to the pit. However, Rav Yehuda, he argues, and this is Rav Yehuda da Amayra. He says, Lamata, when Beishame says that it has to be below, Lamata min hamayim, it was in relation to the water, it has to be below the water. And that is that this partition has to be stuck into the ground that's in the pit. That's, we say, it has to be below the water. Lamala, when we said above, that according to the opinion of Basil, is Lamala min hamayim. And that is, it could even be above the water. And that is in what Basil is being makel, that the reeds don't have to actually touch the water. However, totally above, in other words, not just above the water, but above, on, in other words, towards the top of the pit, even that, Beis Hillel would agree that that can't work. And as Rashi explains, when, according to Rabbi Yehuda, his interpretation of Lamala, above, in which Beis Hillel is being lenient, is really Rav Huna's Lamata. Rav Huna says that Beis Hillel is being machmer, it has to be below. That means it has to be below in relation to the pit, but above the water, which is not all the way on the top. That's the same as Rabbi Yehuda's Lamala of Beis Hillel, that again, it could even be above the water, but not above on the top of the pit. It has to be at least near the surface of the water. So now the Gemara asks, Amalei Rabbi Bar Avchanan Labaya, Hota Amar Rav Yehuda. This second interpretation of that the Lamala and Lamata is in relation to the water, not like Rav Huna that says in relation to the pit. So Lamata, when it says that Bisham is Machmed, that it has to be below, is Lamata min Amayim. Not that below in the pit, that it doesn't have to go into the water itself, but it can't be towards the top of the pit. He says it has to be below the water. In other words, it has to be down in the bottom of the, on the ground of the pit. So the question is, Maishno Lamata Mamish, what is the difference? That we're saying in relation, interpreting the Lamala Lamata, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that when Beis Shammai say that it has to be below, that it can't be below in relation to the pit, which would be above the water, that deloy, that can't be. That's not what Beis Shammai meant. When Beis Shammai was being machmir, it has to be below the water. Not just below the pit, but above the water. Now, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that can't be the interpretation of Beis Shammai? Darivi mayi, because the water is going to mix under the mechitza. And therefore, we don't view the two halves as separated. We're going to view them as together. And therefore, they weren't Mu'uriv. So therefore, you have the problem of the water's mixing. You're going to be taking from the water of your friend. That's why it can't be. That's why Beis Shammai meant when he said Lamata, that it meant Lamata in the pit, which is above the water, because then the waters are mixing. So, but then the question is, Lamata min amayim nami. So even according to where Rabbi Yehuda is saying it, fine. So it's not below the pit, in other words, above the water. It's even below the water, all the way down in the bottom. But Harivi Mai, still the problem of why you don't want to say Rav Huna's interpretation would apply even in such a case, because the water is still going to mix, because it's going over the mechitza. Because sometimes the water of the pit is very deep, deeper than 10 tefachim, but you're saying it's enough for the mechitza of 10 tefachim, so it's going over it. So either way the water is mixing, what do you gain? So Amalei say, answer to him, wait, Lo Yishmielach Hada Am Rav Yehuda Am Rav, didn't you hear how Rav Yehuda Marav had qualified this? Umati ba Meshur Rav Chiyah, and some say it in the name of Rav Chiyah, that Sarech Sheiro Roishin Shalkanim, that it has to be visible, the tops of the reeds that are on top of the Mechitza, Lamala Menamayim Tefach, has to be visible above the water Tefach, and therefore, this that we're requiring it to be all the way down to the bottom, not only is it separating it from the bottom, it's even separating it on the top. As we had said, that it has to, you have to see this mechitza above the surface of the water, at least a tefach, so there's nowhere that the water is going to be mixing, not on the bottom, because we're saying it's all the way on the bottom, and not on the top, because it's coming up above the surface of the water, at least a tefach. So that resolves the first question against Rabbi Yehuda. But then the Gemara says Vesup. But then there's another question on Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. Hadam Rabbi Yehuda, when Rabbi Yehuda explained Lamala, that according to Beis Hillel, that they say that it could even be above. What did he say means? Lamala min hamayim, that it could be above the water, that is, in other words, near the surface of the water, but it can't be very far, like Rav Huna said, it means even above to the top of the pit. No, that it can't be. It just means above the water, but it has to be close nearby. But the question is, Maishna Lamala Mamish, what's the difference in the way Rabbi Huna interprets it? That it to mean above, literally above, in other words, very far from the water, towards the top of the pit, Deloy, that there you say, Basil wouldn't be matter that, because there's no separation that's recognizable in the water with any mechitzas, because there, it's totally on the top, and it's not even close to the water, so that for sure wouldn't work, even according to Basil, Darivi Mai, because water is mixing, but even according to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, Lamala Menamayim Nami, even according to his interpretation, that that above means above the water, but that it's much lower down, still, what type of separation is there between the waters? As he had explained before, it's not touching the waters, harivi mai. So water is still mixing. So what's the difference if it's right nearby or if it's totally up on top? Either way, it's not touching the water. And therefore, how do you see them as separating it? What's the difference? Why doesn't he say like Rav Huna? So Malaysa responded to him. Again, you're missing a vital piece of information. That's why you're asking this question. That the tips of the reeds have to be submerged. In other words, towards the bottom. Again, according to Basil, it has to be right on top. That it can be above. It doesn't have to be below. But that the bottom parts of the reeds do have to be submerged b'mayim tefach, within the water, at least a tefach. And that this was their machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai required an actual mechitza partition that separates all the way down to the bottom of the pit. All Beis Hillel needed was a heker of mechitza, that it should seem like a mechitza. Of course, the water is going to be mixing. But according to Beis Hillel, that's not the relevant piece. Of course, you're not separating the water, and that's not what's important. But as long as you see at least somewhat going into the water, you see, hey, wait, that's his water, that's my water, I could only draw by my part of the water, that's enough. But it has to touch the water a little bit, and therefore that's much different than being all the way up on top, which is not touching the water, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda did not say like Rav Huna. But then the Gemara asks a third question on Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. Belahadam, Rabbi Yehuda, they said Rabbi Yehuda said, Koira arba materis b'churva, that a crossbeam that's four tefachim wide will permit by a building that was destroyed, by a ruin. And that is, if there's a beam that's stuck from one wall to another by a ruin, which that's what happens in ruins. Not the whole building is not destroyed at one time. Some walls fall down, and then there are still some beams that are left over there. If there's a beam that has four tefachim width, and it's going along the width, and that's where it's laying, this four tefachim is on its width. That means that you have the if you're looking up, you see the four tefachim over your head. You're allowed to carry under that crossbeam of four tefachim. And the reason being is because he says that we view the two ends as if it's coming down, similar to the concept of P-tik or Yair Vesayisim. We view the ends as if they're walls coming down and closing off the area that you're there. Because he holds a Kibishmob Rabbi Yaisi that says later on the Ahmed Beis that a mechitza tlui is materis, a hanging partition permits even on dry land, which the halacha does not follow like him. But therefore, that's why he said that it has to be, the crossbeam has to be four tefachim wide, because if you're going to say that we view the edges of the of this board as if they're walls coming down, you have to have in the airspace between these walls an area four tefachim, because a mechitza that's made for an area less than four tefachim is not a mechitza. So this was the halacha that Rabbi Yehuda said, that if you have this crossbeam, we view that the edges as if the walls coming down. So now you, under the crossbeam, you have an area of four tefachim, and you're closed off by these mechitzas. You can go ahead and carry under that area of the crossbeam. That's what Rav Yehuda said. For Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Ravu, he said, and we continue on to Ahmed Beis, that Kaira Arba Materis B'mayim, that this same concept of a Kaira Arba, of a crossbeam of four tefachim in the width, that permits by water. And that is regarding the same type of a case that we're discussing. If you have a pit between two different courtyards, now, if you place this kaira on its width, the same type of idea as we had in the ruin, if you put it in the middle of the pit, on the top, so then each one is going to be permitted in his part of the water, again, based on the same type of idea as like P-Tikra, that we view the edges coming down. So you have this mechitza, literally based on this concept of viewing them as walls, as mechitza tluya, separating his half of the bar and your half of the bar. So now, based on this halacha, the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation of this machlokes in our Mishnah, how can you say that this Kaira Arba is going to be permitting by the water? Again, because we're going to view them as the walls coming down, separating the two halves of this bar between the two chatzeres. Haka'ozel delili idach gisa. But your picture, when you're drawing from your water on your side, right? You see the crossbeam up there, it's coming all the way down, separating the two bits of the water. When you're drawing the water, it might go to the other side, under the width of the crossbeam, to the other side of the crossbeam, in his friend's part. And therefore, Maisi is going to come to bring the water. Now, the reason why this is difficult, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is because, as we find, Rav Huna says, we don't have to have any really separation. We just have to have somewhat of a heker. That's why it could be all the way on the top of the pit, nowhere near the water. But Rabbi Yehuda requires that it's somewhat in the water so that we can see that we're not going to come to take from the other person's part. But here, based on this halach of kaira, which is all the way up there on the top, we view it as if it's coming down, this virtual separation. But the picture, when I'm drawing the water, I don't see it in the water. I don't see the separation. So I might come to draw from his side. That, how does that work? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that's problematic. And that the Gemara says, well, very technical reason. The Chacham have established that a pitcher does not go more than 4 tefachim, and therefore, since the kair itself is an area of 4 tefachim, you're never going to come to be drawing water from the other side of the kair from his friend's part. The Gemara says, fine. See, it's not going to go that far. You're not going to come to take from his side, and therefore, we're not concerned to require actual partition within the water. But tachas kari miyaha arvimaya. But under the crossbeam itself, which it could go, right, because that's within the area of the 4 tefachim, there the water is mixed, and that's mixed from both parts of the chatzeres, that they have some type of a joint shear over there. And Rabbi Yehuda requires a hefsig mechitza that's recognizable within the area of the water, and therefore that's a problem. Again, according to Rav Huna, it's enough to have just a heker bialma. So therefore, the question is not difficult according to him. But according to Rav Yehuda, where you have to have some type of a recognizable partition, and you're not, and you're going to be going under the kair itself, and that area is forbidden because it's shared by both of them. So how can you draw with this heter of this kaira that's creating this virtual mechitza and separating them? So therefore the Gemara concludes and says, Elamishum, what's the understanding of this heta of the kaira arba that's materis b'mayim? It's the kalu shekilu chacham b'mayim. It's a leniency that the chacham made regarding water. And as Rashi explains, that Rav Nachman's pshat is not going with Rav Yehuda, it's going only with Rav Huna, that Beis Hillel said, what does lamayla mean? It means literally lamala on the top. And that is, the water could go ahead and mix together. It's not our problem. We're not concerned with that. We just need some type of a hecker, because that is the leniencies we made for water. As the Gemara says, that mechitza tluya. He wanted to know about the hanging partition. Mahu shatata b'churva. What is the halacha? Does it permit on dry land? Which was based on Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, as we said on Amud Aleph. This hanging partition, which does not come down all the way down to the ground, that does not work, except in the case of water. Because kalo shekilech hacham b'mayim, it was a leniency that the Chacham had said regarding water. And that is the understanding of this halacha of Rav Nachman. It's some type of a leniency regarding water. As long as we have that, even this virtual wall of the kaira coming down, it separates it. We don't care that the waters are mixed together. Like Rav Huna's interpretation of Basil, that we don't care that the waters are mixed together. As long as we have this hecker of the separation of the wall, even if it's all the way up on top of the pit, nowhere near the actual water itself. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. It says, Rabbi Yehuda, loitei mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was totally different than everyone else. He says, this wall that you're creating within the lip, within the area of the pit itself, whether above or below, what above and below means, he says, what do you need it for? It shouldn't be any better than the wall that separates the chatzeres itself, which goes over the surface area on top of the pit, separating the two chatzeres. That itself works to go ahead and separate the areas of the bar, and that should be enough to help you to take from your side and him to take from his side. So Amr Rabbi Baruchana, Amr Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yehuda b'shitas Rabbi Yosi Amr. You want to know where Rabbi Yehuda is coming from? He's coming based on the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. He shares with him that concept. The Amr that he says, mechitza tlui materis afila bayabasha, that a hanging partition helps even on dry land, and therefore by water, you don't need it to be recognizable within, that the mechitza should be within the area of the water inside the lip of the pit, because it works even on dry land, even nothing to do with water, nothing to do with leniencies of water. So yes, if the wall is separating the chatzeres, it'll go down as far as it has to go, and therefore it doesn't have to be within the lip of the water. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah, this idea that Rabbi Yosi shares with Rabbi Yehuda. It says there in the Mishnah, Hameshal shel defanes milmala lamata. If someone is lowering down walls from top to bottom, and that is, he started weaving the walls of the sukkah on the top, and he's weaving his way down to the bottom. So the Mishnah says, Bizman shegevayis min ha'aretz gimel tefachim. At the time, if the walls are more than 3 tefachim above from the ground, where there gedoyim abaykim, that is, goats could walk under the wall, so that's considered a mechitza tluya, as much as it's a virtual wall. But look, if there are goats walking through it, the goats are not walking through a wall. That's at least if it's a height of 3 tefachim. So then psula, then we see this walls of the sukkah as invalid, because there are no walls here if goats could be walking through it. However, mimata lamala, if he was weaving the walls from the bottom to the top, and that is it touches the ground, then im gevoyes yitfachim kasher, then if it's at least a height of 10 tfachim, it's going to be kosher, even if the walls do not reach the schach. Rabbi Yossi says no. He says, kashem shel melmata lamala asar, just like you said, that if it's from the bottom up, that it's enough if it's going to be a height of 10 tfachim, even if it doesn't reach the schach, kach melmata lamata asar, so too from the top down to the bottom, as long as the wall has a height of 10 tfachim, even if it doesn't reach the bottom of the ground, it's enough as long as it has the height of 10 tfachim. So therefore we see that Rabbi Yossi is the same as Rabbi Huda in the sense that they both agree to the concept of Mechitza Tluya. Even if the walls are even higher than 3 tefachim from the ground, and it's a hangy partition, he views it as a valid wall for the halachas of Sukkah. But then the Gemara says no. V'lohi, maybe loy Rabbi Yehuda sabalak Rabbi Yossi, maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Rabbi Yossi's leniency. V'lohi Rabbi Yossi sabalak Rabbi Yehuda, and maybe Rabbi Yossi does not hold the leniency of Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara explains. Rabbi Yehuda loy sabalak Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who we found over here was being makel, was being lenient regarding Mechitza Tluya over here, when the wall is separating the two chatzers, that it'll help even to view it as going down within the pit, he would not hold a Rabbi Yossi, because ad kan lekar Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda being lenient over here regarding Mechitza Tluya, hanging partition? That's elabei Ruvei Chatzeres derabbanan. That was only by a rabbinic law of a Ruvei Chatzeres, which is min hatoyah, you could carry from one chatzah to another. You could take the water that's on his side to your side. So it's rabbinic law, so therefore he was lenient regarding the halacha of Mechitza Tluya of a hanging partition. But regarding the halachas of sukkah, which is a biblical commandment, that he would not be lenient like Rabbi Yossi was regarding the walls of the sukkah. And if it's above 3 tefachim, he will that it's invalid. And v'loy b'yisi sov the Rabbi Yehuda. And it could be that Rabbi Yossi, who is lenient regarding the halachas of sukkah, would not hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Because ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi, where do we find Rabbi Yossi being lenient by mechitza tluya? Ela b'sukkah, the iser asehu. Only by the halachas of sukkah, where it's only an iser aseh, which means say that you have a positive commandment to do. And if you don't do it, you're just not fulfilling a positive commandment. Ava Shabbos, the iser skilu hu layom, but regarding the halachas of Shabbos, where there, if one violates it, one gets stoned, he gets the isra, he gets the chiv of skila, there he did not say it. Now, as Rashi explains, although we're talking about Rishuyas d'Rabbanan, where there's no skila, it's just the isra d'Rabbanan, however, there's based on the concept of kol d'takan d'Rabbanan, whatever the Rabbanan instituted was ke'en d'raisa takan. They instituted based on the same standards as the biblical law are, and therefore, although we're talking about a Rabbanic halacha, but they, just like Mechitza Tluya, would not work by Shabbos, because there it's a chiv skila d'raisa, when it's about biblical law, so the Rabbanan instituted their laws the same way that Mechitza Tluya would not work. Now the Gemara addresses, but v'im taimi, if you're going to say what we just said, that since Rabbi Yossi holds regarding halachas of Shabbos, that he would not hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and he would not permit a Mechitza Tluya hanging partition, then Oysa Maisa Shanasi B'Tzipori, so then that incident that happened in Tzipori, which was based on a permission of a Mechitza Tluya on a hanging partition, as the Gemara later is going to say, based on whose halachic psak was that based on, but Rabbi Yossi was the head of Tzipori, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that everything was in that city was based on him, that it says, Acher Rabbi Yossi Tzipori, that halacha follows Rabbi Yossi as it is in Tzipori. We find that he was the Meir Hara, and if he says that by Shabbos you don't do Mechitza Tluya, so who were they following when they permitted in Tzipori? And that the Gemara answers, Lo al pi Rabbi Yossi. It wasn't based on Rabbi Yossi's psak. El al pi Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Nasir. It was based on the psak of his son, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi had already passed on. As the Gemara brings, this was the incident. Tchiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, Pam achas shalchu b'lo hiviyu sefer Torah mebo'edim. One time they forgot, and they did not bring a sefer Torah when it was still Friday before it became Shabbos to bring to the shul, and it was in the other part of the chatzar. Now, Lamacha, the following day on Shabbos, they were going to bring it through the chatzar, but it did not have an Erev. There was no way to carry within that chatzar. So what did they do? Parsu sadin ala mudim. They hung up these curtains on the poles that were there in the chatzar to make some type of a separation regarding the other parts of the chatzar from the house that the Sefer Torah was in up until the shul. And it was like they created like this small little alleyway to go between these curtains to make these mechitzas of the mechitzas of the chatzar. And therefore, the other people in the chatzar would generally say, what's the problem of a chatzar that doesn't have an Erev? Everybody else here is a player over here, and therefore, if they did not join in, it's considered chatzar shein murevis. But here, it's not going to be a problem, because they had no way of going into these newly created mechitzas, which was going straight from this person's house, straight to the shul. So there was only like one person dwelling over here, because these walls were creating this own small little mavi that nobody else had a role in. They view Sefer Torah, and they brought the Sefer Torah of a Karbai, and they read from the Sefer Torah. Now, these sadinim, these curtains, are mechitzah tluya. They're hanging partitions because they were high up on the on these amudim, and therefore we see that in Tzipori they went ahead and did it. So we said that wasn't Rabbi Yosi, it was Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, and that was based on that he was allowing mechitzah tluya on Shabbos to carry. But then the Gemara asked on the story itself, parshu l'ketchila mishari. Do we initially allow one to go ahead and hang up partitions on Shabbos to create this mechitza to separate, make our new chatzar with these new walls of the sadin to separate from the rest of the chatzar to be able to carry? But v'hakol moedim, but everybody agrees, and that is there's a machlokes between Rebbe Laza and the Chacham. They argue regarding the halachas of toisvus oil are to add on an addition of a temporary oil, a temporary dwelling, and that is regarding the machlokes of pakak chaloin, which is a shutter of a window, where there's an opinion that holds that one could close that shutter on Shabbos, even though you're being meisiv on the oil arai, you're adding on a temporary addition of an oil. That's only regarding, we find one opinion, the other one says you can't even do that, but the one that says you could close the shutter, that's a tosefes, an addition of a temporary oil. Now, but everybody agrees, she'ein oisin oil ar b'Shabbos, that you cannot go ahead and create an entire oil l'ketchila on Shabbos, as the Gemara over there says on Kaf Chaf Hay Amid Beis. So therefore, although you can add on a temporary addition, but to create an entire oil aray, a temporary oil, that you can't do. So here, although I understand that these curtains are you're not creating a building, so it's not oil kavua, but it's an oil aray, and no one holds initially you can make an oil aray, a temporary oil on Shabbos. You can maybe make an addition to it, but not the entire thing. So how were they able to go out and hang up the partitions? I understand you hold mechitza tluya works, but you cannot actually create these mechitzas on Shabbos. Rather, the Gemara changes the version of the story. Elamatsu sadinin prusin almun. Rather, they found, and this was the solution. They said, wait a second, look, you see those curtains that are hanging? Maybe someone was hanging up to dry their clothing, whatever it was, they found these curtains hanging on these pillars, which was directly from this person's house, closing off from him to the shul. They brought the Sefer Torah on Shabbos, and they read from it. And therefore, that was allowed, again, based on the principle of Mechitza Tzluya. Similarly, the Gemara says, related to what we were discussing till now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Amru, Davar Echad. They both said the same thing, which is based on the principle that they were very lenient regarding the halachas of water. And that is, Rabbi Yehuda Hadamar. Rabbi Yehuda is what we just said, based on what he says in our Mishnah, that he's so lenient that although everyone else said that the separation between the two halves of the pit for either chatzar has to be somewhere within the pit, whether above or below, depending on interpretation, he says it could be even up on top, on the surface area of the ground, and that's because he's very lenient regarding the halachas of water. Rabbi Chananya ben Akava, the Tanya we find in the Braisa, he also gives an extra special leniency regarding the halachas of water. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi Omer says, Gezustra, a balcony, which is right on top of, if someone has a beachfront, a seafront property, which is going, and the balcony comes out on directly on top of the water, Sheyeshba arba amas al arba amas, that has an area squared of 4 by 4 amas, which is 24 tvachim by 24 tvachim. We're going to continue at the top of Pezainim and Aleph. So, Chaykigba dalad al dalad amamalit, you could carve out an area in the middle of that balcony of 4 by 4 tefachim, and then you can fill up water from the sea below it into the balcony. And that is, even if there's no wall surrounding it, still it's going to be permitted. Although we generally say that you have to at least make walls, whether above the balcony or below it, and then you'll see it as going down to the bottom. That's a leniency. He said even more than that. He says, even if there are no walls, but if it has these dimensions, it's going to be permitted. And that's because when you, besides the 4 tefachim of the center that you're carving out, you're going to have 10 tefachim of this plank, of this board that is this balcony, that on either side you're going to have 10 tefachim, because if you take the 24 tefachim squared that it is, you take the 4 in the middle, you'll have 10 tefachim on either side. Then you view it as if those 10 tefachim of board, as if it's bent downward, and then you view it as if it's 10 tefachim of mechitzis over the water. Then after you say that principle of kaif, as if you're bending it down, then you say another halachic intervention, a principle of good aches, as if you see it as if it's going down, extending down to the water. And therefore, the water that's opposite that hole will be Rishas Siyachid, because you see the walls closing off that part of the water. Now, less than this, it wouldn't work if it was less than 4 amas, because a mechitza less than 10 tefachim height is not a mechitza. And moreover, a mechitza for less than the area of 4 tefachim would not be considered mechitza, and therefore, again, it has to be an area of 24 tefachim by 24 tefachim, thereby having this four tefachim in the center as an area enclosed by walls, so then the walls are considered walls, and then the 10 tefachim on the other side, which is the minimum measurement for walls, we'll view them as if they're being shaped downward as an L, and then we view two walls, and then we view it as if it's going down. So therefore, we find these two having great lenient opinions regarding the halachas of water. So the Gemara says, not necessarily the case. Amalei Abaye. V'dimalohi, maybe it's not true. Maybe they don't agree to each other regarding each other's leniencies of water. Because ad kan lakam Rabbi Yehuda Hasan, where do we find Rabbi Yehuda being lenient in our Mishnah? El da'amar gur achas mechitzasa. We only find that he says this lenient halachic principle of gur achas, that we view the walls as if they're extending downward. Avo kaif. But to say this great chiddush of bending, as if the width of the plank, as if it's bent downwards, as if it's a wall, but then you still have another halachic obstacle to get by, which is it's still a mechitza tlui, it's still a hanging wall, and then you'll still have to say v'gud, and then after you say kaif, then to say also that it's extending down, lo, you don't find that he says such a chiddush to piggyback these two halachic virtual mechitzas, that first you're bending it and then you're viewing it going down. No, we only find that he says it regarding good achis. And similarly in reverse. V'ad kan lakam Reb Chananya ben Akav Yehassan. We only find him being lenient. Ela b'yamashal Tveria. Only by the Sea of Tveria, which is the Galilee, which is the Kinneret, as the Gemara later on will say, that this story with this episode was for the people of Tveria that he permitted. Now, Hayil v'yeshlo ugnim, since over there by the Kinneret, there's the very high banks, the Ayoris, and there are cities, the Karfifas, and enclosed areas for non-residential purposes, that Makifas, like you said, that surrounds that Yam, which are like mechitzas surrounding it, that you already have some sort of a hecker to permit it. Because you have these subpar mechitzas around it. Again, that is the Ugnim and the cities and the Karif that surround it. Now, since the sea, the Sea of the Galilee, the Kinneret, is only a Carmelis, Midrabanon, now, and really, Minatari, that's not forbidden. It's only Xeri because they're taken from Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRam that we made it forbidden by Carmelis. So since it already has somewhat of a heter, so then although it is a Carmelis, as we said, because even if it's enclosed area, but if it's more than Beis Hasayim, which it is, if it's not enclosed for residential purposes, it's considered Carmelis. However, together with this small little takana, which is the Chiddush of Reb Chananya ben Akavya, which is then to say kaif and good, that's not such a chiddush to say. Again, because A, it's a Carmelis, B, it already has some sort of mechitzas around it, the cities and the kafifas and the ugin that surround it. So then, therefore, he would be lenient to say this combination of this kaif, of bending it and saying good achas. But regarding other waters, which is, let's say, real full-fledged chatzeris, which you don't have any real hecker, which is the case of our Mishnah, which have two different chatzeris and they have the pit in between them, maybe there he would not say, even like Rabbi Yehuda, to even say only the halachic principle of gerachas, maybe there he wouldn't say it. It's only in this case where it's A, it's a carmelis, and it already has some form of mechitzas around it, although they're being subpar. But then, together with that, he would join it even to say good and kaif together. But when you don't have anything around it, and it's not with the leniencies that was by the Yamashal Tveria, then he wouldn't even say like Yehuda to allow it even just with good achas.